Sparky Budelli played Haydn.
Thank you for tuning in on 89.3 FM WHFR Dearborn on this very beautiful classical music day. If you would like to learn more about getting a little bit more active in participation and support of WHFR Radio, you might not know that we offer an opportunity to our local organizations and businesses called underwriting or sponsorship of our radio programming. It's a very effective cost-saving tool, alternative to traditional advertising that we present here on our non-commercial independent station. And when you underwrite with WHFR, our listeners know that you support the mission of what we're doing, providing music and talk that is a little bit different and very, very special to our community. If you'd like to learn more about underwriting, which of course is different and not for everybody, but very well perhaps for you and your business, give us a call, 313-845-9842.
Good morning, this is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I am your host, Mike Holloway, and as the name of the show implies, we will be speaking about all things metaphysical for the next hour. And today, my special guest is Kim Remillard, and she is someone that does energy healing on animals. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me today. It's nice to be here.
Well, thank you for doing the show. I appreciate it. Well, first of all, let's start at the beginning. How did you get involved with healing animals?
Well, I originally my experience with energy healing came from my own experience. I was a client receiving energy healing sessions myself. I had some long-term neck pain at the time and some kind of emotional things going on in my life. And as a result of having the sessions, I started to really see the changes in my own life, the feeling more centered, more grounded after the sessions, and the pain in my neck, the tightness really started to let up in a very natural, kind of gentle way. So I first started to see the changes in myself and just kind of had a natural openness to it and knew that I wanted to, you know, kind of bring this out to people and work with people. So I did that for about a year, working with humans, and had three dogs of my own at the time, and one of them fractured his knee. And I thought, hey, why not do some energy work on him? So I tried it and saw amazing results in a really quick period of time. Helped the little guy to kind of strengthen up his knee again without the use of you know, invasive treatments or medicine, just a natural healing process for him.
Mm-hmm. So you actually had some training in Reiki, was that it?
Yes, exactly. I took some courses and apprenticed for about 3.5 years to get my Reiki master. And then, just had kind of a deep calling inside of myself, knowing that the animals need our help because they're subjected to a lot of things in this very humanized world that they live in with us.
Right.
And I think in this day and age, humans more and more are realizing that it's not just about the physical health aspect of ourselves. More and more people are looking at the emotional, mental, spirit, and the healing surrounding that. And I think it's important that we take that to the animals as well and treat them as a whole person, mm-hmm. and a whole being like we do ourselves in
right.
this day and age.
Right. Well, that's good. Now, how did you actually get started working with animals?
Well, again, the inspiration came from my own animals, and then from there I started to do Reiki and other energy healing techniques on my friends' pets. Sometimes I would even just go out to parks or in my backyard, and if there were deer or birds, I would just start offering it to them. And I think one of our biggest teachers are the animals themselves. And you know, although it's wonderful to learn all kinds of things in the classroom and do the apprenticeship, the animals for me have been the biggest teachers and still are to this day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Now, did you always feel that you had some type of sympathy with animals? I mean, have you always loved animals? Is that a lifelong thing?
Yeah, it is. I think when you're young, before you go through, you know, kind of like a heavy socialization period of your life, you're very open and you're very sensitive to nature and the animals around you. And for me, they were my friends. You know, fish, birds, dogs, cats. I always, for some reason, felt closer to them than even some of the humans in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah,
that's,
who knows?
That's just the way it was, right?
Yeah, it was just, they were my friends, you know. And from there, yeah, just always loved them through my entire life. And again, just, I find it important to, you know, as I talk to a lot of pet guardians these days, you know, they're family members. They're just as important to us as our human friends and family, and just wanted to embrace them and help them.
Mm-hmm. So you work with all types of pets, fish, birds, just about everything.
Yep,
how about reptiles, anything like that?
I haven't worked with reptiles yet, but I would love to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. There's always a first, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm open to anything.
Right. Now, I accessed your website and I read what it had on there, and I can tell that you are truly, truly true in that the fact that you really feel for these animals, you want to help them, and you talk about communicating. Now, how do you communicate with these animals? I know that you are not a pet psychic per se, mm-hmm. but how do you communicate with these animals?
Communication happens for all of us. A lot of us are communicating with our animal friends a lot more than we realize. And we do this mostly through a feeling sensation, through thoughts, through our feelings that we're sending out as vibrations to the pets all the time. And they do that in return to us. So those gut feelings that we get, you know, when someone will just say, something's not quite right with my dog, even that is a form of animal communication. But the key is to create that quiet space between us and the animals for that to flourish. And in this day and age, a lot of us are really busy, you know, kind of up in the mental realms, you know, with our calendars and our schedules and getting things done and things like that, that, you know, it's really about moving into the feeling quiet space. And with the energy work, it just kind of happened organically with me, because here I was in this quiet space with the animals, and my mind was turned off. I was more in my body, which is where the animals are. They're in that feeling state. And it just kind of started to happen organically. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, you know, am I really receiving and feeling what I'm feeling? So I took some courses in animal communication and just got some validation for the things that I was receiving, and then went from there.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be hands-on necessarily. You can just do it over the phone too, right?
Yeah, and actually a lot of my work is long distance with the animal. It's an energetic connection between the animal and myself without the guardian being on the phone. You know, we're all energetic beings, and we're all, as I said, sending out these vibrations to each other. I'm sure maybe you've had it happen to you where you've thought of a long-term friend or someone who you haven't seen for a while, and then lo and behold, other people start ironically talking about them, or you may get a call from them. You know, we're constantly sending out this energy, and basically I energetically connect with the animal, and then from there the telepathy, you know, can flourish, as well as the energy work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you've done it with, I guess, pets in foreign countries even, and they've
yes.
felt the results?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just like we can pick up our cell phone, and we may not see the energy travel from my cell phone to maybe someone I'm calling in Brazil, but it's still there, and there's still that connection, and it's the same thing, and we just put our intention behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, as you continued on working with animals, did you find that you preferred working with animals as opposed to human beings?
I like working with both, but the difference I find is us humans, you know, we've got that thing called the human ego, the personality, and all the socialization and programming that we've experienced through our life that goes along with who we are as whole beings. And the animals, they don't have that so much. They don't go through the same socialization as we do. So they're very open, sensitive beings, and their fields reflect that. They're very, they're not as dense as the human energy field is. So they're more sensitive to the energy, and they're more open to their own healing because they don't have the same mental blocks or belief systems that, you know, kind of pointed out to them through the years or ingrained in their mind. So they're very open to the whole healing process. And for a lot of time, for a lot of times, it just happens a lot quicker for them than sometimes it does for humans, because the energy field is so clear.
Right. Now, you try to, I guess, clear it with the animal to make sure that they are accepting of this and that it's okay with them? And now, how do they respond? How do you know whether they want to do it or not?
Well, from a telepathy point of view, telepathic, it's kind of like if you were to hear someone call you by your name, and on a feeling level, you know that's your name, compared to if someone was to call you George instead of Mike, and you know, and you have that deep knowing that, whoa, that's not me. When I work with them long distance, it's kind of like that sort of feeling. And first of all, I like to always get the permission from the guardian, talk to the guardian thoroughly. The animals are so close to the humans they live with in their households. So the support from their human friends is so very important for them in order for them to go into the session and feel open and safe and secure, knowing that their friends, their human friends, support this whole process for them. So that's the very first thing I like to do, is have a nice talk with the guardian. And then from there, we pick a day and time, and I connect with the animal. And the first thing I do is just lovingly introduce myself, tell them why I'm there, usually saying that it is a gift from the guardian, and ask for their permission to proceed. And the thing with energy work is when you're connecting to an animal, sometimes you'll get a sensation in the palms of your hands, and that is the animal starting to draw the energy. So if on a feeling or telepathic level, I'm a little bit maybe unclear, does this animal really, is it really open to this session? Sometimes my hands will tell me as well. I'll just get that pulling of the energy, and then I'll know.
Now, has there ever been a case where maybe the guardian, and I think it's interesting that you refer to as the pet owner as the guardian, not just a pet owner. That makes a difference, does it?
Yeah, to me it does. Just because I guess I believe in my heart that we don't own anything. The animals are their own person. They have their own soul path. And I think for us to have a healthy rapport and relationship with them, or the healthiest, it's nice to establish within our hearts that we are our own being and they are theirs. Because sometimes it's easy for us humans, I know I've done it with my own pets, where you want to control everything, you want to fix everything for them. You know, you just want to make this way and that way. And sometimes we need to just let go and allow them to make some choices too for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So when you do this type of work, has there ever been a situation where the guardian has said, no, I don't want to do it, maybe you've already started and they don't feel right about it, or perhaps even the animal might communicate to you halfway through a session that this is something they don't care for? Do you stop at that point?
Yes, I do. And if I connect with an animal that at the onset is kind of feeling a little hesitant, then I just let them know, you know, we can try this. And if at any time you're not comfortable or you'd like the session to end, then you just let me know, or they will stop drawing the energy from my hands. Now, I have had some people call me with a lot of skepticism around the energy work, but be very adamant about the fact that, you know, they do want to try this. So what I've tried to do is just lovingly talk to them about kind of moving into a more open space, because I have had situations too where the animal really wants the work. I mean, they're so beautifully open to it. And yet I could feel that animal wasn't fully concentrating on their own healing, because they could feel the human energies kind of coming into the session. And any negative energies that are going to come in won't be conducive to that healing space for the animal. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, yes, a session can be interrupted, but it's very rare. I mean, a lot of people are open to it, and if they're not, they really do try to at least hold a space of love and openness for the animal.
Right. So you don't have to be hands-on necessarily to perform this type of work, correct?
Correct. And the nice thing about energy work is, because we're dealing with the energy field which surrounds the physical body, although touch is nice in some circumstances, we can just hover our hands in the energy field or do it long distance. A lot of times, I used to do house calls, and it just got to the point where I would be on one side of the room, the animal would be on the other, or the cat would be upstairs, I'd be downstairs doing the session. And I started to realize, you know, the animals are trying to tell me something here, which is, I don't necessarily want to deal with the physicality of you, Kim. The smell of your dog's on you. Your hands underneath my belly or on my inner thigh. So when we can do it long distance or without the touch and still connect in those areas, it makes for a really comfortable session for the animal.
Mm-hmm. Do you ask for a picture, though, of the animal?
Yeah, it's
a
not.
A snapshot?
Yes. You can definitely do this work with just knowing if the animal's female or male, you know, what their name is, where they live, and go from there. But I enjoy having a picture. I like to see who I'm working with. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a personal thing for me.
Right. So that helps you envision what you're working on and who you're working with.
Exactly. Right. And then when I connect with that animal, it's basically I'm visualizing them in front of me as if they were there in person.
Right. Now, you also refer to animals as being soulmates. Do you feel that, I guess, guardians and pets are meant for each other and they can learn from each other?
Absolutely. I think the animals are here to teach us a lot, and I think we're here to teach them, you know. We're all energetic beings, and this is all an energetic exchange between us. And there are some animals that will come here to hold the space for a human and help them through some really trying times, and that will be their job. And then there's other animals who are here for other things that may still be put in those situations, and that can lead to illness and emotional discord.
Mm-hmm. So if you have Fido or Fluffy and they're acting up, they're not responding the way you want them to, do you think that that pet is trying to teach maybe patience to the guardian, something like that?
Absolutely. Yep. I always ask people, and I do this with myself, the animals are our mirrors. So whenever I see one of my animal friends at home, my horse or my dogs, acting a little bit off, I always ask myself, okay, what's going on with me? And to give you a really good example of this, and this has happened in the past, just the other day I was stressed out about something to do with just life, and my stomach was hurting, my upper belly, my solar plexus, which is our center of power and our will center. And I could feel, physically feel the pain in that center, and I kept kind of not wanting to deal with the issue where that pain was coming from. So I kind of went about my day and I was cleaning my house, and then I finally sat down and I thought, gosh, my stomach's still hurting. I still feel the nerves in there. And two of my dogs within a half hour threw up. They both vomited. And that to me right there was a sign that I'm not owning my own feelings and I'm not addressing the feelings within me. And as a result of that, they're so sensitive that they automatically pick that up. And in this line of work, oftentimes emotional distress will work its way into the body, kind of like stress. You know, stress starts for us as a thought form, and then perhaps I may start to get emotional about it. And then before long, I'm usually feeling it in the top of my back. So for them, that whole process works that much more quickly. So when I see my animals acting off, whether it's a behavioral issue or in this case the vomiting, that's right away when I tell people, you need to stop and just, you know, don't hold judgment around them or you. You know, everything's okay, but just look at it. You know, what's going on? And a lot of the times my clients will say, oh, you know, we did have a death in the family not too long ago. I have a friend whose cat had stomach upset, and she called me and she said, you know, I really think that I need to have a session for her. And I said, well, tell you what, why don't you sit with her very quietly, do a little bit of meditation, focus on your breath, and if she still has an upset stomach tomorrow, give me a call. So she called me the next day and she said, you know, she's fine. She stopped vomiting. And during that quiet time with her cat, she herself realized that she was still hanging on to a lot of grief surrounding the passing of another cat. And she'd been carrying this around, and the new cat had picked up on this. So mm-hmm. See how we're all connected
right.
with this energy. I mean, it's just so intense sometimes,
right.
You know?
It's quite amazing, too.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to briefly remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Kim Remillard, and she does energy healing on animals. Now, do you work with veterinarians as well?
No, I don't. Not at this point. I work with my own veterinarian with my own animals. Mm-hmm. My dog Regis had a fatty tumor on the underside of his pelvis a few years ago. And I brought him to the vet and he said, you know, this is a tumor for sure. You know, we can keep an eye on it for a little bit, or, you know, we can remove it right away. And I said, well, how long can we keep an eye on it? And he said, probably a couple of weeks, and then maybe we need to remove it. And so I told him that I was going to do some energy work on Regis and just see if I could help Regis lift that illness out of his body. So I did, and 2 weeks later I brought him in, and it was less than half the size. So I kept doing the energy work with Regis, and eventually it disappeared on its own.
Mm-hmm. Without any type of medication from the veterinarian?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, there, of course, are other times where, you know, definitely medicine and treatments are needed in specific cases. But in this case, because the block in the energy flow in the field was caught early enough, I was able to assist Regis in breaking that up. So, mm-hmm. And that's what we want to really look at is You know, it's the flow of energy coming in and out of the energy field, which is crucial to our health, us and the animals. And as long as that flow can be sustained and there's no huge blocks or disruptions, the animal, you know, good health and well-being is going to be promoted in that animal and encouraged. So it's really about, you know, helping the animal to keep the flow going mm-hmm. in a healthy way.
So the stress in an animal can actually cause physical ailments like a tumor or something like that, maybe actually builds up and manifests itself in a physical form?
Yes. Yep. As I said earlier, sometimes emotional, like take an ulcer, for instance. An ulcer can start as, you know, an emotional worry over an extended period of time and work its way into the body. And it's the same with the animals. But again, because they're so sensitive, that process can happen quite quickly for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a good thing to be aware of, you know, so when we do see a shift in their behavior or in their emotions, it's really good to assist them energetically so we can get, you know, breaking up that block and allow them to process the feelings that are behind the physical illness that has manifested on the body. Now, there are some situations where, you know, genetics come into play, or it may be an injury where they've, you know, ran too hard and too long and popped a kneecap or something like that. But yes, the emotional and physical energy fields are very aligned in animals.
Mm-hmm. So if you work with an animal, can you feel that possibly they do have some type of disease that, you know, is not going to save them? You can't save them. It's just a matter of time before they pass away. Do you try to work with them and accepting what the fate of the animal is going to be?
Yes, and I think the key word that you just said there is accepting. And I think it's really about accepting where the animal's at and helping the guardian also to accept where the animal's at. Because, you know, we live in a society where we want to control, you know, we want to make things better for them. You know, I mean, I would do anything for my pets, but sometimes we need to realize that this is where they're at, and we can almost do, it can almost be counterproductive to their transitioning and their own healing process by us kind of hanging on, you know, and trying to control their situation. So if I'm working with an animal that is terminally ill, I usually get the distinct feeling from the animal that, you know what, I'm okay and I'm ready. You see, the animals aren't afraid of passing over. They mm-hmm. don't see death as such a final frontier as we've been socialized to view it as. And they're very comfortable at that time.
Right. They're much more accepting of their fate.
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. because they know they're going to reincarnate and they're going to, you know, move on. And you know, death isn't what we view it as. The spirit goes on, and they realize that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's the grief that we bring to it. And that's not to say we shouldn't grieve, because that's a natural process, and we need to, you know, process and bring that through us. But it's when we hang on to it and we block ourselves that we can create illness in ourselves. And then also the animal has to kind of deal with all those emotions that we have around their illness, rather than moving into that peaceful state of, okay, my time here is done and I'm moving on, kind of thing. So if we can get ourselves in a place where we can just kind of let go and allow, do more allowing than seeking, it can really benefit the animal during those difficult times.
Mm-hmm. So you believe in reincarnation for animals, that they will come back in another body. Now, is it possible to switch? I don't know, can a dog come back as a cat, anything like that?
Yeah, actually, it happens quite often. And a lot of the times, you know, the people who say, oh, I swear my dog's a human or my cat is human. A lot of those animals have been human before, and that's why.
Really?
Yeah, and that's why they're so humanistic in their cat-like qualities or their mm-hmm. dog-like qualities.
So when people say, well, gee, I'd like to come back as a dolphin in my next lifetime, that might be a possibility?
I don't know. I guess I'm not privy to that information. I think that's on the higher levels of being and soul paths. But in my opinion, yes. I think each of us has our own personal kind of lineup of... I think we have our wishes and then what we were really meant here to come and do. So.
Yeah, I just didn't really think it was possible for a human soul to reincarnate as an animal soul. And does that work the other way too? An animal soul can come back as a person?
Yes, I believe. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I worked with a cat once, too, that became just another animal. She had been a bird before and really wanted to return to a bird form. And she ended up having cancer and was quite content with her illness and going through those motions to leave her body. And of course, the guardian was upset and, you know, lovingly did everything in her power to help the cat. But in the end, you know, I said to her, she really just wants to go back to being a bird. And when I said that to her, she kind of smiled and she said, you know, that makes so much sense because she's always been the kind of cat. I mean, I'll walk in a room and she's dangling from the chandelier, like with one paw, you know, and if you look at their characteristics, sometimes you will see, you know, and if you listen to that deep voice within you, you'll see really who they are, you know, on deeper levels.
Right. But again, they come into certain situations because they have lessons that they want to learn, and perhaps by a bird coming back as a cat, they see it from the other side because obviously cats always attack birds, and maybe there's something different, something that this spirit needed to learn.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it'd be nice to be privy to everyone's kind of soul contracts, but we're not, you know, it's each individual. But I do know for a fact that the day the cat passed on, it was the next day where she said a blue jay landed on her windowsill. And she thought that was really extraordinary because she normally didn't have birds landing on her kitchen windowsill. So you can kind of feel the healing that was involved for that woman there too. Right. And a lot of the animals, they come here, and some of them come here in a form. And once they get here, I worked with a cat once who was so annoyed that it had a tail. You know, I was like, what is with this cat body and this tail behind me? And when I shared that with the guardian, she said, well, you know, she never moves her tail. It's just dead weight. We almost thought that there was no muscle activity, no nerve in it at all. And it's because she had dissociated from it.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier you said you worked with your veterinarian. Does he support you in the work that you do?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. He does. Yeah. I think, you know, ideally it would be wonderful if the veterinarian community and the more natural alternative medicine community can work together. Unfortunately, I think sometimes they get pitted against each other, and it kind of makes me sad to see that because I think both are tremendously needed. And, you know, I really respect the veterinarian community and we need them. You know, we need them, and I'd like to think on some level, you know, the animals and the guardians and the veterinarian community needs the holistic side of things, too, you know?
Now, normally, though, vets don't refer pets to you or anything like that?
Not at this point. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not working closely with any vets right now in that regard. But, you know, it takes time. It's really hard for all of us humans to look beyond what the eye can see. You know, I mean, even when I started doing energy work, sometimes I had like moments where I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Right.
Because we get so used to what's tangible, what we can see, what we can smell, what we can touch. And it's really, in some cases, you know, a leap of faith to just look past that and feel more like feeling past, you know, into what we can't see, but what is still truly there.
Right. Again, it gets back to the energy that you can't see. It's there. It's just hidden.
Right. It's like when we walk into a room, I always talk to my students about this just to kind of link that gap. We walk into a room at a party or we're in a room, say, and someone comes in and automatically we sense something. And it may be, you know, wow, that's a really nice person. We might get a really good feel from that person, yet we've never talked to them. We know nothing about them. That's energy. That's our energetic field, which expands several feet outside of us, connecting with theirs.
Mm-hmm. So someday you hope that veterinarians will get a clue and perhaps work with you and, again, not only explore the physical medical side, but also the holistic side?
I guess I wish for both sides to just be open to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, because you hear it on the other end, too, where the holistic community can sometimes feel that the medical community isn't in need. And I'm in the middle, and I'm open to both. And I wish the merging of all. I think that would be most productive and most beneficial for the animals and for people, too.
Mm-hmm. So will you tell a guardian that perhaps they bring the animal to you to work with? You might suggest to the guardian, you know, you really need to see a veterinarian. Perhaps you should see him for her and get some medicine or some type of therapy from the medical side?
I try to be careful because energy work isn't a diagnostic tool and it's not a cure and it's nothing that you should prescribe with. So there's that fine line there. But if I'm working with an animal and I know someone perhaps isn't open to going to a veterinarian and I feel the animal's in dire need, then absolutely I will you know, as lovingly and diplomatically as I can suggest to them that, you know, the pet should go to the vet. But I won't diagnose. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't say, this is what's going on with your animal, bring him to the vet, tell the vet this. You know, that's not my place. My place is just to support the animal energetically.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how do people get referred to you by other people? And I guess you have a website and the other information that you put out. Do people just hear from you, hear about you rather, from those?
Yeah, some of it's venues? Word of mouth. Yep, some of it's word of mouth. I have an article. Well, I've written articles in Phenomenews, and I have an ad in Phenomenews. And sometimes people just come across my website. So it kind of comes in from all different areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it a regular basis that these people come back to you for the same pet, or could it just be a one-time session? It just depends on the situation?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Sometimes results are seen right away. Other times, you know, if you're dealing with a terminally ill pet or a pet that was just diagnosed with cancer, then I may work with that animal twice a week for 2 months or longer. You know, mm-hmm. it just depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it possible that there is nothing wrong with the pet per se, but the guardians still keep bringing them back because they like the effect that the energy work has on their animal?
Yeah, and I think in an ideal world, because the health of the animal is dependent on the uninterrupted flow of energy through the field, in an ideal world, if we allowed our pets to have an energy session maybe once a month even, that would help just to make sure things are flowing properly before any blocks can develop and manifest physically on the body. So, yeah, I do have some clients who just like to gift their animals. And see, it deepens the human-animal bond so much. I mean, the animals kind of turn to their guardians after a session, and most people will say to me, they're just looking at me different. I just feel a different connection with them. And it's because the animals are feeling like they're being understood truly for who they are, which is these beautiful, open, sensitive beings, energetic beings. And, you know, suddenly that human isn't seeing them so much from a mental thinking perspective. It's more on that feeling level, that energy level, which is what the animals need from us.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Kim Remillard. And she does healing work with animals. But you also said that you work with humans. Now, will you work on an animal and then perhaps work on the human as well at the same session? Does anything like that happen?
Well, it's usually different sessions, but yes, it does happen. Sometimes people see the results in their animal friends and then wish to kind of explore their own healing through energy work with me. And then there are other times where what's going on in the animal is so closely linked to the emotional situation going on with the human that it really helps to work with both in separate sessions so that the human can release the blocks associated with that emotional issue, and then the animal can let go too.
Mm-hmm. And the animal communicates to you whether it might be a physical problem or whether it might be an emotional problem. How do you get that type of information?
Sometimes they will communicate if they're stressed about something or deeply sad about something, and other times I'll just feel it in their body. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be working with their energy centers, each one representing a different kind of physical, emotional, mental side of ourselves, each one governing a different area of our body. So it's a lot of it's based on intuition, what the animal's body energetically is telling me, and then sometimes the animals just flat out, you know, will speak their truth too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you indicated too that animals are very intuitive in certain ways, and I know there's been instances where the animal will go, they'll just know that a person's in trouble maybe. Maybe they can help their guardian or whoever the case may be, or they know that they're sick and they'll, I don't know, give that person special attention, something mm-hmm. like that. Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's all sensing through the energy field. They sense when there's a disruption. So if someone's sick in their household that they're close to, they can sense through their energy field a disruption in their human's energy field. Kind of like when we're sitting with a friend, this is more on an emotional level, but if we're sitting with a friend and we ask them how they're doing and they say, oh yeah, everything's great. And sometimes we just get that deeper knowing that, no, something's not right. You know, the animals multiply that by 1,000. I mean, they're just so intuitive. So yes, sometimes they will sense things. I mentioned earlier how sometimes when I get stressed, my solar plexus, the top of my belly will ache. I had a dog at home that used to, at night, lay against that area for me, you know. not necessarily healthy. You know, I had to kind of start to migrate him down towards the end of the bed because I didn't want him to absorb that energy. And I think that's a really important thing to remember, is that these absorptions are going on. This downloading is going on. And if we can bring our awareness to it, just the mere fact of bringing our awareness to it can create a healthier energetic relationship between us and the animals. You know, we need to just kind of own our own emotions so that they don't have to do it for us.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a case where you've suggested to a guardian perhaps you and the pet should part ways and do something different?
No. No, I've worked with multi-pet households or households where they've brought another pet in where it wasn't a good energy match and mm-hmm. there was just too much going on, where I've you know, again, lovingly and diplomatically suggested maybe, you know, this cat would do better at another location or another home. But I think those relationships between animal and human are very personal. And I'd like to just kind of hold a space of love and safety for each and guide from that perspective rather than telling people what to do. Because I think when people really get in touch with the truth of the matter in their own hearts, they'll know what to do when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, you say you have classes. Mm-hmm. Do you teach people how to do this? Is that
yes,
what the classes
I do.
Are for?
Yeah, actually, my intro course, I put that one together. I thought that was really important before teaching any hands-on energy work. The intro course is a full-day course which just basically teaches us what's energetically going on between us and the animals, how sensitive they are, who we are as energetic beings, who the animals are as energetic beings, and how that whole relationship plays out. And then we also work, do some exercises regarding how we can protect the animals from our emotions. And this is all very important, not only just in our daily domesticated life with them, but when we're doing energy healing, it's so important that we stay in our center and we stay grounded. If I'm working with an animal that's passing away and I have a lot of my own personal emotional issues regarding, say, the end of life or death, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to bring all those to a session. I can't be there in a space of love and healing for that animal if I'm getting upset over its death. Do you know what I mean? I need to be a strong friend who's supporting them in their healing. So that class is really about looking at how we may project onto animals and how close that energetic relationship really is. And mm-hmm. then and bringing ourselves into a more accepting, allowing, grounded, centered kind of space so that we can be of service to them and be of service to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself sometimes in special cases getting very emotionally wrapped up in a situation?
I do sometimes, but I that kind of happens after. At the beginning when I first got into this work, sometimes I would find myself kind of falling apart a little bit, and that really had to do with my own issues. So it's been such a healing process for me over time to learn, you know, what I'm upset about or what I'm holding in my body from my past or from my present. And over time, again, the more we do energy work, the more we open up, the more we heal ourselves. Every time we do energy work on an animal, the energy comes through us first before it comes out our hands to the animal. So it's a real cleaning of our own system. And for years now, you know, if I'm in a situation that's tough, I guess I'm able to stay grounded and just focused on the fact that, you know, I'm there to support that animal in a space of love, no matter what's going on, whether they had been abused or they're dying. You know, it's all about love. And then mm-hmm. sometimes after, you know, maybe an hour after the session, I might have a moment, but that's different because I'm not closely and intimately, energetically right. connected to them. So they're not going to have to download all that.
Right. So you're not transferring that to the animal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the classes you have, does that involve training animals at all?
No.
No.
No, that's a whole different ball game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just strictly students, human students that learn how to treat animals.
Yeah. The first course, as I said, looks at that relationship. And then we get into more of the hands-on, just, you know, really simple universal channeling, bringing the energy down through our bodies, through our hearts, out our hands to the animal. And also how to approach an animal. You know, with humans, with energy work, A lot of times they lay on a table or sit on a chair, and, you know, there's so much verbal discussion that we just kind of go right in and we, you know, may work for an hour on them. And at any time that human can speak up and say, hey, you know, this doesn't feel quite right, or can you lay off of this area? And the animals, you know, we don't have that English language exchange with them. So a lot of the courses also focus on how we can better read their body language and how we ourselves can move more into a feeling state so that we can deepen our intuition and really sense from the animal, are they comfortable with this? How to approach them? You know, I like to approach them if I'm working in person with an animal rather than go right in. I like to just kind of stand in their energy field, let them feel mine, I feel theirs, and see how comfortable they are with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything special you do before each individual session?
For me?
Well, for you to get ready to work with the animal?
Yeah, sometimes I will do a bit of meditating. Sometimes I will open with a blessing or a prayer. And I like to sage I have like a healing room that I work out of, and I like to sage that and just clear all the energies. And I like to call forth spirit guides and guardian angels that are around me as well as the animal. And then we go from there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So normally, how many pets do you work with in one day? Is there any set number where after a certain number you don't want to work with anything, you know, do any more work with the animals or any animals?
Well, after a session, I send a report out too. So I would say in one day I could do 4 sessions, mm-hmm. and that would take, you know, the better part of my day. That would take most of my day up. Now, sometimes I have to be aware of my own energy reserves, and sometimes if I'm feeling a little woohoo, you know, too much energy coming through me, then I may only work with 2 animals in one day or 3.
Mm-hmm. So it just depends, but normally 4 at the most.
For me, yes. Right now, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how long does each session last?
I would say on average about a half hour to 45 minutes. But, you know, that can vary. Sometimes I connect with an animal and I'm working on them for about an hour and I feel I could probably spend about another hour, but I have to close the session. And, you know, healing is a process, so we don't want to go kind of in there full bore and just start removing or helping them. You know, it can get overwhelming. So we need to, it's kind of like the layers of an onion. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but it's like peeling back the layers of an onion. There's no rush, you know.
Right. Right. Well, I know you said that it can be exhausting, so that if you do several sessions, you feel it sometimes at the end of the day. Maybe you're totally drained.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, because if you're doing energy work correctly and you're actually focused on the fact that you are a channel, because we're not giving our own energy. You know, you don't want to give your own energy to heal the animal, or else you can really drain yourself and become sick, and then you're at risk of picking up their blocks as well as them picking up yours. So we want to always remind ourselves that we're a channel for these energies to come through, and that kind of protects us in a healthy way. But also, again, because every time we do a session, the energy comes through us first, it's kind of like somebody's doing energy work on me. And if you go for a massage, for instance, you know, we all know how we feel after a 1-hour massage. So if you did massages all day long, over and over and over again, and then you finally got off that table, woo, you know.
Right.
It's that kind of feeling. It's a good feeling, but it's just something that needs to be honored, and I need to really always be in touch with, you know, how I'm feeling and when I need to just kind of step back and maybe do some meditation or go for a walk in the park and just, you know, make sure my reserves are strong.
Right. Sometimes you just have to get away from it at times.
Yeah. And sometimes I find, too, if I do get emotional during a session or after, sometimes that's a sign, too, that I'm not taking care of myself enough. You know, this has been a big learning experience for me, too. You know, sometimes some of us are so used to giving, 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 and being of service. And really, this is something I teach my students all the time, too. In order to be of service to others, we have to be of service to ourselves. So the health of myself, emotionally, mentally, physically, will also determine the effectiveness and health of the session I have with the animal, because it's such a sacred union that I have with them. Mm-hmm. So out of respect to them and for myself, I have to keep myself in good energetic shape too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a situation where you just really haven't felt up to par? Maybe you're not really doing all you can for that particular animal on that day, and maybe you have to say, well, you know what, perhaps come back at another time, or do you just go ahead and do the best you can at that time?
I usually don't even let it go that far. If I feel like I'm off, then I will just kindly ask them if we can move the appointment. Because, mm-hmm. again, it's not fair to the animal, and it's not fair to me. And if we go into a session feeling off-center, that's when they can absorb our blocks and we can absorb theirs. And I learned that lesson the hard way. When I was working with humans, I did a charity event, and I had this one wonderful woman come in and lay on the table, and she had lost her young daughter and was struggling with cancer herself. And I had such an emotional reaction to her situation that I really wasn't grounded or centered while I was channeling the Reiki to her. And on my drive home after the event was over, I started to feel very sick. My throat closed up, just kind of that feverish overall heavy head feeling. And I called my teacher, and she knew right away. And then she just said, you know, go through your day, because there was someone there that you weren't centered and grounded with. And what you essentially did was, rather than assist her, you took it all on for her. So I was sick for 2 weeks, and I don't get sick very often, but I was bedridden for one and then just not feeling quite right for another. So mm-hmm. that was a big lesson for me in really making sure I'm grounded. And if I'm not, then I really don't have any business supporting an animal or a human in such a sacred, intense, intimate connection.
Right. So do you use any other modalities? I know you use Reiki. Do you mm-hmm. use anything else in healing animals?
I use another energy system called Prismology, and this is it's kind of like Reiki. I'd like to think all these energies are from one main source of love, but this one is closely related to Mother Nature and the healing of the planet, and I find the animals really enjoy this, the vibrations. And the Prismology has specific aspects for deep emotional healing, deep physical healing, bringing in a sense of divine guidance and love for the animal, a sense of protection, which is great for animals who are abused. And I find the sessions can be rather quick and effective. I got a call once from a lady from Detroit who had found a little puppy kind of left for dead in a parking lot, and someone had tried to crop the tail? They do crop or something. Tried to dock the tail. That's it.
I don't know those technical terms.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm just into energy here. they had tried to dock the tail in kind of a homemade fashion and left the poor little thing, I think it was 6 weeks old, with this infected tail, left it in a parking lot. So she called me and she said, you know, can you do anything for this little one? And I had just started working with the Prismology energy, so I connected with her and started channeling the different vibrations to her. And the tail had an amazingly profound healing process. She had been to the vet, and the vet had said, you know, this is probably going to be at least, you know, a 4-month healing process. And within like a week and a half, the tail had undergone substantial healing. And this is what I love about energy work, because we all, us and the animals, we have this innate ability within ourselves, our bodies, to heal ourselves. If we get a cut on our finger and we don't put medicine on it, eventually over time the skin will come together and, you know, it'll heal up on its own. Well, the animals, they have that mechanism, internal mechanism inside as well. And when their field gets blocked in any way, for instance, in that case, she had the injury and the infection on the tail, it slows down that internal healing process tremendously. That whole system works slower. So by channeling the Prismology energies in and helping her to break up the blocked energy all around the back end of her, her internal healing, innate healing ability sped up, and she was able to really heal that tail really quickly. And she was also emotionally traumatized, and the energy work really helped her. I mean, the lady told me the next day even that she seemed like a whole different dog. She went from hiding under a dresser or a chair to running around with the other dogs in the house and eating, you know. So you can really see just how sensitive they are and how quickly they can move into a space of profound healing and health.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's probably a relief for the animal as well as the guardian, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
Yeah. So that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. And I also do chakra balancing too.
Okay, and yeah. What's that?
Chakras are energy centers throughout the body. There's several, but humans and animals have seven main ones that run from the top of our head all the way down to the bottom of our body. And those all kind of govern specific areas of our body physically. They also represent different parts of our personality, who we are emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So when I'm working with an animal, I scan each one. And in a healthy system, these centers... chakra is a Sanskrit word meaning wheel, and that's what they look like. They're like wheels of energy vibrating and turning. And in a healthy system, they're all open, spinning, same size, and allowing, you know, transmuting the energy coming in from the universe into the physical body. And there's other functions other than that, but in a healthy system, everything is flowing, just like in the energy field. But as soon as they start to become blocked, then the animal can have difficulties or problems or physical illness in that area pertaining to that chakra. To give you an example, the heart chakra. If an animal is grieving over the loss of, say, a human friend or another animal companion, in that grief-stricken state, I may feel the heart chakra small, kind of tight, heavy, closed. And by channeling energy into it and helping it to stimulate and open and move again, the animal can the animal's prohibited from moving into physical illness in that heart center, you know, and they're able to process the grief and move beyond it. Whereas sometimes if the blocks just stay there, then, you know, the physical illness can start to really manifest in the body, leading to maybe heart problems or heart disease.
Mm-hmm. So it just makes it, I guess, a worse situation. Instead of attempting to heal the situation, it just makes it worse.
The block?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just intensifies until it really becomes a major problem.
Yeah. It's kind of like the stress example. You know, if we don't really take a look at, okay, what am I angry about? Why am I angry? Okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort to just let this go now. If we just suppress it and, okay, right, I'm just going to keep doing housework so I don't have to think about this, then yeah, the block will get intensified and it will get bigger, and eventually, yeah, my neck hurts me or my upper back.
Right. And pretty soon it's your whole body.
Right. Yeah.
Like you say, bedridden or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Like we all know, you know, how stress can just kind of take over your system. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're doing work with an animal, is there any type of situation where maybe the guardian feels that it's doing more harm than good, or has that never been the case?
The only time I think I've come into that, see, what I love about energy work is that it always heals for the highest good of the animal, and it's not up to me and it's not up to the guardian. I mean, the animal will draw in the energy just like we draw in oxygen. We don't tell it where to go or where it's needed. It just naturally knows where to go in our bodies. And that's what the animals do with the energy work. So I always tell the guardian up front that this is really about the animal. You know, all we can do is assist. We cannot heal another. So we're going to assist by offering them this energy and seeing if they really need it. And if they do, they're going to let me know where they need it, and they'll draw it in. So I usually like to say that up front. And the only time that I guess... What's
your question? Well, just the fact that when you're working with these animals, it doesn't get any worse. I mean, it always gets better with the energy work?
Usually, but for the highest good of the animal. So sometimes with spiritual changes, it's not seen with the human eye. Again, we're getting into this, you know, kind of looking beyond what we can see. Sometimes there's spiritual healing going on that can't be seen, and sometimes it's blatantly right in front of you that this animal has made a dramatic shift.
Right.
So
what's the most exotic animal you've ever worked with? In your opinion, anyway.
To date, and they're not exotic, I guess, but probably an Arctic wolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? A wolf?
Yeah.
Somebody had a wolf as a pet?
Yeah.
Really?
And it was on my honeymoon, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What a way to spend your honeymoon, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, dear. I've got to take care of this wolf first. Nothing exactly personal, honey, but get away from me. You say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of said, hey, you want to meet a wolf?
Yeah.
Bless his heart. Of course, he was like all over it. He's like, yeah, sure, let's go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was really interesting. I'm fascinated with working with wild animals because they don't have the same... They haven't been domesticated, You know, right. They're not living in these closed quarters with humans like our domesticated pets. So, it's just an incredible experience to work with them. And such respect and honor, right. You know, to connect with them.
Well, they must have a whole different mindset living in the wild, right?
Yeah, and I find that with horses. Because they're not in the homes, you know, the majority of their time is spent in nature, where a lot of animals naturally like to be and do well in. And I just find that their energy fields are clearer and they're so much more sensitive, and the communication is really clear, mm-hmm. really profound.
Right. What does your husband think about all this?
He's wonderfully open to it all.
Really?
Well, he laughs from time to time.
But he'd have to be, or otherwise there's going to be trouble, right?
Yeah, he's like total businessman, and you know, sometimes he'll go for dinner and someone will say, oh, so what does your wife do? And he just, I think, thoroughly enjoys telling them exactly what I do just to see their expression.
Right. He just wants to get a reaction. Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'm assuming he's also an animal lover, too?
He is. Yeah, we have 3 horses and 4 dogs, and he's a very spiritual person.
Really?
As well, yeah. He sees the big picture.
So do you live on a farm or something? If you have horses, that takes up a lot of space, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, the horses are kind of up from my backyard in a residential barn that belongs to our neighborhood. So we're kind of on the borderline of like a small town and then into the country. So it
works out somehow.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
It works.
That's the bottom line. And also speaking about bottom lines, I just want to let everybody know about this bottom line, that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The program you're listening to is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And my guest on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking is Kim Remillard, and she does energy healing on animals as well as humans, actually. And like you said earlier, now you do some work with humans, but that's very rare at this point. You're working mostly with animals?
Yeah, predominantly animals. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about just totally working with animals and that's it? Or do you try to stay open and work with any being if they need help?
Yeah, I'd like to stay open, just because the animal's health sometimes is so dependent on what's going on with the human. And, you know, we're all really just doing our best, you know, all us pet owners. I mean, we love our pets. And
right. Well, that's all anybody's trying to do is their
best
somehow.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to think that, you know, we're all in this together. We're all connected by this energy. And I like to help. Think I'm helping the entire cause and not just focusing in on one particular being.
Right. Or particular situation, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to the veterinarians, do you ever go around trying to talk to veterinarians, trying to convince them about what you do, that it's good for the animals?
Sometimes I do, if I feel someone is open to it, if someone mm-hmm. is a holistic vet or brings it up with me. But I try not to solicit my work. I really believe that when we're in the right place and we're centered and our hearts are open, that the universe... you know, things will unfold as they should.
Right.
And I learned a long time ago to not seek that, you know, but to just allow and just be open to it, and not offensive in any way either, because I'm not here to kind of push it in anyone's face or make them believe. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
We all come around to seeing these different dimensions of ourself and this energy work when it's our time. And for some of us, it's never, you know.
Right. So whoever comes into your life in regards to animals, you feel that that's a divine guidance, that they are supposed to come to you when they come to you?
Yeah, I do. I think that every animal I work with, I learn so much about, you know, myself and them. They're always showing me new things. And I just adopted a mare that was severely abused and found starving. And I adopted her not too long ago. And she came to me very emotionally shut down. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to just give her all kinds of love. And this is a really good story about just the lessons they teach us and how we learn about ourselves through them. I thought, I'm going to just flourish her with love because this poor thing hasn't had love. Well, every time I went to do that, she would get very mad at me. She'd pin her ears. She'd kind of swish her head at me like, get away. So rather than respect that, something in me thought, no, you know, I need to love you and I need to... you know, make your life better kind of thing. So I kept kind of getting in her space with good intentions, which I'm sure we all have.
Well, most of us anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I like to think so. So I kept doing that. And one day she showed me her teeth right up against my face pretty much. And I thought, whoa. So I got all mad and I went home and I thought, geez, you know, I adopted her and I'm trying to give her a good life and she's not open to this. I don't think this is going to work. My human ego just kind of took off. Oh, poor me. Look at me rescuing this animal, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I luxuriated in all my self-pity for about a day and a half. And then I finally went over there and she was in her stall and I sat down on a chair beside her. And I just became very emotional because it was the first time in all this flurry of my mental activity trying to figure her out that I just did nothing. I just allowed a space between her and I. So I sat on the chair and I closed my eyes and I focused on my breath. And suddenly I got an image of her being hit along the backside of her body, which was an area when I brushed her that tended to really provoke anger in her. So she showed me her being like slapped again and again with some sort of object on that area. And I just had a tremendous amount of compassion for her. And there was just this feeling of, it was like she was saying to me, it's not that I don't like humans. I just see no need to have relationships with them because my relationships with them have been nothing but force. And in that moment, like I just became so emotional and I realized that I had been just another human forcing myself on her. And sure, on some level, I'd convinced myself, my intentions are good, I just want to love her. But I had no respect for truly who she was as a person and a being. And I got it in that moment. And I also, my own personal lesson at that time was, you know, I think lately in my own life, I'm feeling just a sense of being unloved. And I've made this poor mare who's been through so much responsible for that, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So right. Once I got that, and I dealt with the emotions surrounding it, I communicated to her and just said, you know, I'm sorry that I forced myself on you, and I'm not going to do that anymore, and I would love to be friends with you if you'd like that, but let's take this slow, and you let me know what you're comfortable with, and if we can be friends someday, great, and if not, that's okay too. And to this day, we've got a great relationship. We're very close.
Well, that's good. Now, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
They can reach me at www.animal-healing.com or toll-free number 866-305-4483.
Okay, well, that is going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I'll get it out. Thank you very much, Kim, for being on the show. I do appreciate it.
And thanks, Mike.
It was very interesting. Thank you.
HFR.FM, and we are making waves.